Father, thank you for Christmas Eve morning, for the birth of Christ. It's changed all of our lives. We're only here in this room right now as a result of that, as a result of you reaching out to us and bringing us to you. So we celebrate you. We celebrate the birth of our Savior. We celebrate what you've done in our lives, Lord. Help us as we read your word, help us be encouraged, be strengthened, be reminded of what you've done, the work you've done, and the work you plan to do. We love you, Lord, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you want to open your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, it's the fourth gospel, not to be confused with 1 John chapter 1. John chapter 1. The title for our study this morning is Christmas Reminds Us. Christmas Reminds Us, John 1. I like to stay physically active. I like to exercise, stay in shape. Every year, between Thanksgiving and New Year's, I just give up. Like, I'm eating all this junk food all of a sudden. Like, I don't eat sweets throughout the whole year, and then I'm eating all these sweets throughout the holidays, or I don't drink soda throughout the year. I'll start drinking soda during the holidays, and then I just don't have time to go to the gym or go for a run or do anything. Like, even the thought of just, like, you know, doing a push-up on the floor, I'm like, ugh. Seems it's all the way down there. It seems it's too much work. I kind of embrace it for these few months, and then in January I'm like, all right, I need to start, you know, getting active again. And I just feel so sluggish and exhausted, and I'm like, man, I didn't realize how much that was affecting me until I get to the other side of this. So right now I'm still in the embracing it part of the equation, where I'm not in any sort of a mood to do anything physical. I just can't wait to stuff my face later today. Well, our spiritual health is obviously even more important to keep active and to train in the Lord. And we can often get sidetracked by all the things that are happening in our lives throughout any given year and forget how genuinely meaningful and how needed Christ is in our lives. What celebrating Christmas each year does is remind us how special Jesus is and how special this moment that we're celebrating, the moment of his birth in human flesh, how special that moment was and is to our lives. So today we're going to be skimming through the chapter of John 1. We're not going to read every verse. We're going to kind of skip through it. And John chapter 1 isn't traditionally a Christmas verse necessarily, but it is focused, or Christmas chapter, but it is focused on the incarnation, meaning Christ in God in flesh, coming into flesh, like what that means. And that's what the birth of Christ is. So it's very applicable. It's describing the meaning and significance behind that, behind what it means for God to be in flesh. And through this chapter, we'll be reminded and encouraged of key aspects of our walk with the Lord. So we'll start in verse 1, reminding ourselves how special God is to us. Verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." If you drop down to verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So Jesus, the guy who we're celebrating his birth today, children's ministry is doing that happy birthday Jesus party. That's fun. Jesus is the eternal God himself. Jesus has always existed. He was never created. He wasn't created at his birth. He has existed for all of eternity and existed long before the birth. Now, if we're thinking about us, you and me, we came into existence when the Lord knit us together in our mother's womb. God created our physical bodies and our souls and our spirits. He created all of that together when we were in our mother's womb. So there's no reincarnation where you used to be someone else or something else and you're reborn into a different body. There's no, like, we didn't exist as some spirit in heaven prior to our bodies and just put into our bodies. We were created by God, our souls, our spirits, our bodies all together in our mother's womb. But Jesus was always fully God. So he wasn't created in Mary's womb. He'd existed before that. His body was just created in Mary's womb. He himself stepped into Mary's womb, so to speak, as a growing baby to be born. Jesus is the same being as God the Father. We believe in one God, and this passage describes this well. We believe in one God who's in three persons, and each of the three persons has a different title that Scripture, that God himself has given us to help us understand the role and function of each of those persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those describe the functions of what each person does, but it's one God. Now, we call this the Trinity. A triune God is just three in one, three persons in one being. And I don't want us to overcomplicate the Trinity. What I think typically happens is people try to compare or illustrate the Trinity, or illustrate the God in three persons, try to illustrate that with things that we already understand. There's a lot of things in life we understand. So you try to bring it into something that you already grasp. The issue with that is God stands alone on his own. There isn't something comparable in our world that can accurately reflect who God is in this way. And so instead of trying to bring it down into something we can comprehend, we should just observe. Observe that is God, one person or one being in three persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's God. I'm just observing that and learning from that. My 2.5-year-old son, we're trying to teach him how to understand that my wife is, gosh, what is she, like 4.5 months pregnant, somewhere in there? So she's like halfway through the pregnancy. So she has a bump. And so we're like, your baby brother's in the belly. And he's like, oh, I want to say hi to baby brother. But he doesn't like really... You can tell he doesn't really grasp, like, the line between him understanding that there's a real baby in there and it being a pretend thing. That's a blurry line. And then, you know, stuff will happen. Like, he learned in children's ministry the other day that we have Jesus in our hearts. And then it's also Christmas time, so we learn that there's a baby Jesus. So now he's like, Dad, do you have baby Jesus in your belly? And it's like, no, that's so wrong in so many ways. Every part of that question is wrong. I don't know. Where do I start with that? It won't be until he sees his baby brother in the real world, and we can say, yeah, yesterday baby brother is in mom's belly, today here is baby brother, that it'll like click. Oh, I get it. And then he'll know how babies grow in their mom's belly and come out. But until he witnesses it, until he sees it, he probably will struggle through. I mean, we'll keep trying to help him, but he'll struggle through understanding this. I think understanding God, one God, and three persons is somewhat similar. You got to witness the Lord, see the Lord, have a relationship with God, experience interacting with God, experience God as your Father, experience a co-inheritance with Christ as children of God, as a son or a daughter of God, experience the work of the Holy Spirit, and then you get it. It makes sense. So we shouldn't overcomplicate it. Now, this is the key distinction between false religions and the truth. The distinction being that Jesus is God, the one true God of Abraham. Now, false religions will call him any number of things. Call him just a prophet. Call him a miniature God, a mini God, or just an offspring, like merely the son of God, like an offspring of God, or just one of many gods. Other religions that have ties to Judaism and Christianity communicate the identity of Jesus as any number of these things. What this tells us is that each of those religions believe in a different person than we believe in, because that description of Jesus not being God is not the Jesus we believe in. The Bible here in this passage describes that Jesus is God. And if this passage wasn't enough, here is a long list of other passages that confirm in the New Testament that Jesus is God. You can take a screenshot of that or write that down if you want to look those up later. The Bible is very clear that Jesus is God. And so anybody who believes Jesus is God is on the right track. Anytime someone says he's not actually God, that's how we know for certain that we're not talking about the same person. Now, Jesus is the creator and sustainer of life. He himself created the whole world with the Father. He created all of existence and all of time. He's not a part of creation. He wasn't created himself, because he's the source of the creation itself. I think this kind of boggles our mind, or it should. When you're reading John 1, you're like, Jesus was there at the beginning. So when we go back and read Genesis 1:1 and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who was that creating the heavens and the earth? That was Jesus. We now know that. That's Jesus, because we're reading that in John 1. Jesus is the sustainer of all life as well, on earth and eternal life. Our bodies, our souls, our spirits, he populated the world in 6 days during creation, but then he continues to form us in our mother's womb. Every one of us who is born, formed by God. And even then, he is the one sustaining us, keeping us to this moment right now. You're sitting in the chairs you're sitting in right this second because God sustained you, because Jesus sustained you to this point, kept you alive to this moment. He's also the gatekeeper of life after death. He's the one who comes to us in this world of darkness that's trying to pull you in every which direction, trying to trick you into every which thing. He's the one that is the light to the true God, the truth about who you are, how you were made, and what's going to happen to you after you die. Jesus is unprecedented access to God. Maybe you've read through John chapter 1 before, and maybe you've wondered, why is Jesus called the Word here in John 1:1? Why not just call him Jesus so we know who we're talking about? Well, verses 1 through 18 are like an introduction to the whole book of John, these first 18 verses. And this introduction like slowly reveals who it's talking about. In the beginning was the Word, is the start of John 1. And then slowly over those 18 verses, it slowly like crescendos until in verse 17, it names him Jesus. It says exactly who we're talking about. And then in verse 18, it gives him the title of Son, the role that he has in the Godhead as the second person of the Trinity. Now, when our passage calls him the Word is the full expression of who God is. Now, when Adam was walking around with Eve in the garden, he was able to walk with God right there with him. But since the fall, since sin, since humanity rejected God, we've chosen to be apart from God. We haven't been able to be face to face with God until the birth of Christ. And we can be face to face with God again. We have no access to God without Jesus. There's no way for us to stand in the presence of God without being destroyed, because God is fully just and we've rejected him. In him we have life, we have peace, we have riches, we have all of heaven. But apart from him, we've rejected all of that, and what we've chosen and said is wrath. And so on our own, we can't go and stand in front of God, because we get what we asked for, basically. But with Jesus, he lets us borrow his life. He says, I will bring you to the Father. I will let you stand in the presence of God through me, through Jesus's righteousness. And then we can know God without that judgment. This baby born that we celebrate isn't just any baby. He is the eternal God, born in flesh. He's the creator. He's the sustainer of life, born into humanity. And he's come here to meet us here. Many of you know, for Christmas, my wife and I go back to our hometown of Hanford. It's near Fresno. And it's fun to be back in the hometown. We go on walks or drive around town, and you see all the places that you grew up, you know, at. And that's where we met each other. And so you see that. We served in ministry together there. So when we're on our walks, we say, oh, I remember we were preaching the gospel to those kids right there, or you know, that's the church that I learned how to serve in children's ministry at, or that's where we met. You know, all those like fun little connections as you're driving through town. And those were the things that got us to where we are today. That if that didn't happen in our lives, that the things that happened in that hometown, and us meeting each other, and all of that, and ministry that we did there, we would never be in where we are here today. Now, what is more of a special moment than the birth of this baby? God in flesh coming to save us. Now, that weight and the emotion of our Savior being born now, we want that to hit us this morning. Feel the emotion and the joy and the overwhelming sense of the maker of heaven and earth, the one who created us and sustains us, born to save us. All right, starting in verse 5, we'll talk about remembering Christmas, reminding us not to miss what God has for us. Verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. If you drop down to verse 9, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus brought truth to a deceived world. The world apart from Christ, hear this, the world is addicted to sin. Sin being anything that's against God, anything that rejects God or walks away from God. The world is addicted to sin, cannot stop going against the Lord. The world can't even tell the difference between what is right and wrong, what is good or what is harmful. It's like, your taste buds, you can't really tell the difference between an apple and like a candy or something. Like, you both taste sweet. You're like, oh, they both taste good, I guess. But one of them is like full of nutrients and fiber and healthy for you. And one of them is just, you know, candy. It's just going to rot your insides or something. I don't know. The world can't tell the difference between what's truly good of God and what is harmful to them. Now, Jesus brings a piece of clarity to our lives that we wouldn't otherwise have. The clarity of what is truly good for me and what is harmful to me. The things the Lord leads us and commands us to do, they're not arbitrary rules. They're the path to a thriving life. Like, you go to a store, a grocery store for the first time, or the hardware store or something for the first time, and you walk in the door and you're looking around, and the person comes up to you and says, hey, do you need help finding something? And you're like, nah, I don't need help finding anything. And you wander around the store and realize you have no idea where anything is, and it's going to take you forever to find something. And then you're like, hey, where's that person? And they're gone. They disappeared into thin air. They got raptured or something, and they're not in the store anymore. So you have no, you're just wandering around and wish, I should have asked if where the plungers were or something. I don't know. Whatever you're getting from the store. The Lord, when the Lord speaks to us through Scripture, instructs us. It's not like just, hey, you better do this or else, you know, I'm going to be mad at you. You're going to be grounded. The Lord speaks to us like, hey, I don't think you know where you're going, and I can show you where to go. I can show you what is helpful to you. I can get you right where you need to be. Here's my word. And we don't want to just abandon that and be like, nah, God, I'm good. I got it on my own, because we're going to find out soon enough that what he's saying was right. Now, the world Jesus created and the world that he entered into didn't recognize him. It's a painful irony that God's own people, the people that were made in his image, didn't recognize him. Even his chosen nation didn't recognize him, refused to know him. It makes you wonder what ways God is revealing himself to us, you and me now, today, that we're missing, that we're refusing to listen to. Now, people say all the time, I'd believe in God if he showed himself to me right now. If God revealed himself to me right this second and proved himself to me, I'd believe in him. But he's not going to do that, right? Well, that's false. It's a fake excuse. Because people did have God reveal himself to them face to face. They saw him do miracles. They knew the prophecies that he fulfilled. They were there talking with him directly, and they still refused him. And people currently today ignore the overwhelming evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. Just straight evidence. And people ignore the testimony of the Holy Spirit, how God has been speaking to them their entire lives. It does not matter how much God or in what way God was going to reveal himself to them, the people who refuse to believe. You can always find a reason to refuse to believe. Now, those who receive Jesus instead are reborn as children of God. Even though there's plenty who ignore the Lord, the ones who embrace him receive something special. There's a special relationship that we have with God. We have a special inheritance, a spiritual inheritance, how God transforms us, and an eternal inheritance, riches after we die and have the new life in Christ, or the continued life for eternity. And there's nothing quite like the comfort that we have in Jesus. I want to encourage anyone who is here this morning who recognizes, hey, I've been prioritizing some other things above the Lord. Today's the day to remember that the full comfort is in Jesus himself. Now, we don't want to miss out on what the Lord has for us by ignoring how he's revealing himself to us. Now, this year has been pretty crazy for me. We got the new church building, and work was crazy. And so I'm like kind of exhausted at the end of the year. I need a break, you know? And I think back when I'm like this busy, I think back to when I was living in the Bay years ago, and I didn't have a church that I needed to take care of. I didn't have kids at that time, you know. I had a much more like simple life, married life, and I did not take advantage of it. I could have like, you know, done some cool things, done some fun projects, had some fun. I could have made an album or something, or learned to draw, or I could have, you know, made some more friends or something, but I didn't. I was kind of in a rut when I was living in the Bay. Just to be honest with you, I've had periods where of some light depression on and off throughout my life. And that was like kind of a time we were having miscarriages. We felt alone in the Bay. We didn't have like a good community. And it was just like, oh, I don't want to do anything. I'm just going to sit on the couch and watch a show or something. You know, after work, you're just kind of stuck in that rut in the Bay. But now I'm like thinking, man, I should have taken advantage of that time while I had it. Now, I don't want to get to heaven and think, why didn't I not take advantage of the time I had on earth? That was the one time I had to reach people who were hurting and they needed Christ. I had this one moment to live faithfully to the Lord in the midst of a fallen, broken world, and I put on an autopilot. I was stuck in a spiritual rut that whole time. Well, maybe some of us are in a rut, but we just don't know how to get out of it. Or we've tried to get out of that rut, but it's been unsuccessful. Now, it's complicated. There's not a one-size-fits-all solution to every one of our situations, obviously. But I can tell you this. I can tell you that verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Now notice, children, not he gave them the right to become a child on an island somewhere. He gave them the right to be children of God. You're not going to get out of your rut on your own. Now you need the Lord. And the Lord has given you, provided you with brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow children of God. We're here for you. So if you're stuck in a rut and you don't know what to do, you don't know how to get out of it, or you're not even that motivated to get out of it, reach out to someone here. Reach out to brothers and sisters in Christ here and spend some time with us. And we'll walk with you. The Lord will walk with you. That's one of many things the Lord will provide you to help you get out of that rut. Don't miss out on what God has for you. It brings us to verse 14 and verse 29, that God meets us where we're at. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. I dropped to verse 29 in case you didn't catch that. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Creator of heaven and earth went into his own creation. Jesus humbled himself to meet us where we are at. Meaning he limited himself by a human nature. And he's still fully God. Still has a fully divine nature. But he went, came, was born a baby, and was limited by what a baby can do. Did the things a baby did. And then, you know, as he grew, did the things a growing human would do. Now, this is the first time, as we said, that we get to see the glory of God face to face since the fall. Fully God and fully man. Jesus was full of grace and truth, it says. Meaning, this first coming of Jesus, born a baby, he didn't come and give us all the judgment we deserved. He came and withheld that judgment to give us the opportunity to know him and choose him instead of that. His second coming, when he comes again, that's going to be a coming of judgment. He's going to come and he's going to just judge all of the evil in the world. We get to choose, do we want to align ourselves with evil that's going to be judged, or do we accept this grace of God and align ourselves with the grace that he's given us? It also means that his ministry, Jesus' ministry, and by extension our ministry, is to speak the truth of God. The only thing that actually helps people is truth. It's not helpful to lie to people and tell them what they want to hear or withhold because they don't want to hear the truth. It's only helpful to tell people the truth with grace and love. Now, Jesus willingly experienced what it's like to walk in our shoes. He knows our suffering by experience. He knows our joy. He knows what it's like to live a righteous life in the midst of a messed up world. We follow his words and his example as God, but we also follow him as someone who lived it every day and thrived living the way that is faithful to the Lord. If you feel like nobody else understands you, or you feel like nobody can really feel what you feel, Jesus does. He does because he has full knowledge of you, where you're at, and your feelings as God. He also does because he's experienced pain and things just like you as a human. Jesus sacrificed his life to set us free. The imagery in this passage is of Jesus as the Lamb of God. That's Old Testament imagery, where you would put a blemishless lamb on the altar and sacrifice that to the Lord to atone for your sins. And you think of this special newborn baby, Jesus, born to this world to die so that we might live. See, everyone is sinful, meaning, again, sin is everyone has chosen to act against God, has chosen to walk away from the Lord. Everyone's rejected God in favor of their own desires. Rejecting God means giving up his goodness, means choosing the judgment instead. But Jesus offers to take that from us, offers to take that judgment on himself and let us reap the benefits of his perfect life. There's nothing we can or nothing we need to accomplish in order to reach God. He came to us and he's with us now. I help run church events on a regular basis, and we often host like family gatherings for our family. So I'm usually the person like putting on an event and like have to think about all the details of the event and, you know, all the headache of making sure everybody's having a good time and blah, 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 blah. So when I go to an event where I'm not the host, it takes me a second to kind of reset my mind that I don't need to do a bunch of stuff, that I can just relax. And then once I do, I'm just having a blast. I don't have to worry about anything. I don't need to worry about if someone has food or if someone's having a good time. I can just enjoy myself. If I'm hungry, I can just go eat. Like it's a great time. It's just like the weight lifted off my shoulders of hosting a party or something like that. Now it's easy for us to feel like there's pressure on us to accomplish something, to earn the right to be in a good place with the Lord. Like, hey, I haven't been all that I should be. I need to like get it together. I need to get to a place where I'm good with God. Now, of course, our actions and our choices matter. We can actively pull ourselves away from the Lord, but to get back to the Lord, we don't have to go climb a mountain to reach God. To get back to the Lord, we don't need to get ourselves to a good place. We just need to accept God's help where we are at. Wherever we're at right then and there, just accept God's help there. He meets us there, and then he does the transformative work. We don't earn the right to be in a good standing with God. We just turn to him, and he gets us there. There's some here today that are living in the joy of the Lord. Feel God's joy in them. There's some here today that barely made it here due to the suffering or how tough of a time they're having this year. There's some here who don't care about church or Christmas very much at all. There's some here who are anxious from caring too much to the point of worrying. And in each of our situations, God walks with us. Christ walks with us. You're here with the Lord, walking with you. Just embrace him. Help him take you to the next point in your walk with him. It brings us to, if you skip all the way down to verse 43, Christmas reminds us that God calls us to follow him and to share him. Verse 43, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Skip to verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now skip down to verse 49. Change of heart here. Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Well, Jesus finds us and calls us to follow him. He pursues his disciples. Remember, anybody who follows Jesus is our disciples. You and me are disciples. He pursues his disciples, just like he did with Philip in our text, because we might not do it on our own. We're not going to reach out to God on our own. He comes and gets us because he is what we need, and we just don't realize it. And he gets us, so we should expect that Jesus is reaching out to us right now. Today, Jesus is reaching out to call you to the next step of what we call sanctification. Sanctification is the process of you growing in the Lord. Expect that now today, Jesus is reaching out to you for that next step. Now, the Lord actually calls us to live for a higher calling than we would live on our own. Now, if you feel like you haven't experienced the call of God on your lives, today, pray for that calling. Because I'm telling you, he's reaching out to you today. So if you haven't experienced that, pray for that calling. And if you have experienced that, be encouraged in your calling today. Be reaffirmed that the Lord really has put something in your life that he's calling you to, that he wants to work with you on, that he wants to accomplish with you. Now, Jesus sends us out to share our experience with others. If Philip in our text responded to the call of God on his life, Jesus said, "Hey, follow me." And he said, "Great, let me go tell Nathaniel about this." Because real transformation in his life and Philip's life led to him wanting other people to experience the same thing. He felt Jesus' call on his life. He said, "I want Nathaniel to experience what I just experienced with Jesus calling me to follow him." Sometimes we psych ourselves out about sharing our faith. We really don't need to. There's no magic formula to sharing your faith. You don't need some advanced degree to share Jesus with others. You just need to share what you've experienced. You know God. You have a personal relationship with him. You're studying scripture to know the truth. Share that. Just share what God's done in your life. God has changed your life. Just share that. The message of Jesus is powerful enough to reach the unreachable. One of the biggest hindrances in sharing our faith is that we're worried that when we share our faith, the other person's not going to be interested in what we have to say. And that very likely will happen. Nathaniel, in our text, immediately didn't believe Philip. Philip said, "Come and follow Jesus." And Nathaniel said, "Yeah, right. Like anybody can come out of Nazareth." Yeah, he like makes a joke out of it immediately. That is a legitimate response that people will have when we share what Jesus did with us. Legitimately, people, I don't think as many as we think will, but some will legitimately be like, "Ha, that's funny. That's nice. I'm glad you have something that makes you feel good." But Nathaniel and his disbelief, when he's mocking anything, as if anything could come out of Nazareth, that's when Jesus reached out to him himself. Jesus reached out and changed his life, and he did a complete 180 flip. He went from making fun of the concept of Jesus to saying, "Oh, you really are who you say you are. You really are the Messiah." Our job isn't to worry about if us sharing what God's done in our life is going to work or not, or if it's going to change somebody's life, or if it's going to be laughed at. Our job is not to care about any of that. Our job is just to share. Look, very basic. This is a crazy cool thing that's happening in my life. My relationship with God. I've never seen anything like it. How the Lord is doing something in me. Like, you should get some of this. You should feel what I'm feeling. You should connect with the Lord. If there is still breath in our lungs, the Lord still has important things to teach us. So we should come as a learning mindset, and important things for us to share with others. If God didn't have anything to teach you, or if God didn't have anything for you to share with others, you wouldn't be here right now. It's better to be in the presence of the Lord. God would have you with him. You are here right this second because he has things to teach you, and he has things for you to share with others. My son loves taking out the trash. I've talked about this before. He loves it. And it's because his whole life, we've always been like, "Do you want to help Dad take out the trash? You can help Dad take out the trash." And then, you know, we go and we take out the trash, and then we come back in, and his mom's like, "You took out the trash for me? That's so helpful. Thank you." And so he's all proud. He's like, "Mom, I took out the trash. Guess what?" So now he loves it. He always wants to take out the trash cans, and it's really cute. But like cleaning up his toys, however, doesn't like that. Cleaning up your toys means you're done with playtime. You know, that's something you have to do. You have to clean up your toys. I guess it's time to clean up my toys and go to bed, right? But taking out the trash is like, you get to take out the trash. It's so fun. I don't want us walking away from this today feeling like we're nagged into following Christ more faithfully, or nagged into sharing Christ with others. It shouldn't be like my son having to clean up his toys. Oh, I guess I went to church on Christmas Eve and God told me I had to like live for him, or I had to follow his word, or I had to you know, oh man, yeah, I guess I better do better this year. That shouldn't be how we walk away from this. We should be walking away more like my son about the trash. It should be like bubbling out of us that, no, I met with God. God reached me where I'm at. And that's something else. That's something special. And I am reminded, because we're celebrating Christ's birth, I'm reminding how God met me. And I'm reminded that all I want to do is follow him. All I want to do is learn from him where I should go, what is best for me. All I want to do is share with other people the special thing he's done in my heart. That's all I want to do. It's bubbling out from inside of me because I've had that real interaction with God. God is something special. Jesus is something special. We remember that today. Remember how special it is, the moment that Jesus was born, that changed the game. It changed everything for us. So we're reminded by Christmas not to miss what God has for us, not to miss his message that he's given to us, where he's calling us. We also know, we're reminded from Christmas, that it's not that we have to strive to accomplish something on our own. God's going to meet us where we're at, and he's going to help us as long as we're willing to go with him and follow him, because he's calling us to follow him. And he's calling us to share that experience with others so others can follow him as well. Christmas is just this great reminder of these fundamental parts of our faith, but in a way that, I don't know, in a way that's not like robotic, or, you know, you might have the right answers to the test kind of a feeling where, I know I'm supposed to feel this way or think this way as a Christian, or I know I'm supposed to do these things. But Christmas gives us an opportunity to not think what I'm supposed to do or what I have to do. Or it gives us an opportunity to think, man, what special moment is this? Christ was born for us. And how special that has changed my life. And all I want to do is live remembering that specialness, walking in how special the Lord is to me. That's all I want to do. That's what Christmas reminds me of. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for how special Christ is, for how special the reminder of his birth is, for how special you've worked in our lives. I pray for us to feel that deep in our souls, for it to bubble up out of us. If we keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a second here, if you've never trusted in Jesus before, you've never given your life to the Lord, you've never truly believed in Jesus and in his birth and his death and his resurrection, but you've heard how Jesus has come to this earth to prove himself to you, and you've heard how true it is, and you feel today the Lord talking to you directly, speaking to you about how he wants a relationship with you, wants you to know him, wants to show you the path to life, be the light to the darkness in your life. If the Lord has spoken to you and you haven't chosen to trust him in him, but today you want to choose to trust in him, you want to follow him as he calls to you and says, follow me. If that's you this morning, if you want to raise your hand, I'd love to pray with you. Does anybody want to trust in Jesus for the first time? Follow him. Those of you who raised your hands online, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these who are choosing to trust in you. I pray that they believe in the birth of Christ, God in flesh, as a man on this earth, as a human being, fully God, fully human, the one true God, and I pray that they believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus. That through him, they can have eternal life and forgiveness of sins, and that they trust in you, Lord. If we keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a second, if the Lord has reminded you through the story of his incarnation, of Christ's incarnation, through the Christmas message of Jesus' birth, if he's reminded you of how special he is in your life, how special you are to him, how he has some things for you, some special things for you in your life, how you don't have to earn that on your own, just accept his help. He's going to meet you where you're at. And how that's going to lead to you following him with your life, being devoted to him, and you sharing that special message with others. If the Lord has reminded you of that through this celebration of Christmas, if you want to raise your hand, I'd love to pray for you. Amen, 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 amen. Anybody else want to be included? Father, I thank you for these who are raising their hands. You're powerful not because of any special words or any special moment that we could like manufacture or create, not just on a holiday, but because of who you are and how you personally reach out to us by your Spirit. You've moved us into reminding us how unique this relationship with is, how much we need you. So I thank you for those raising their hands. I pray that they remember and are moved by your Spirit alone, by how much you mean to them and how much they mean to you. I pray that you help them as they walk with you from this day forward, Lord. Lord, we thank you for coming. Praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray.